This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Here we go after the Jags fall in Week 6, 31-20. The final score, the Houston Texans coming to Everbank and get a win over the Jags. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, the Scoreboard Show is here, where we take your calls. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. The phone lines are open to react to the Jags' loss to fall to 1-5 and now head to London next week to face the Buffalo Bills. Texans are 2-4. You know, the Jags had a 14-10 lead entering the fourth quarter. I don't know if you knew, Mike. They led 14-10 entering the fourth quarter. 21 fourth quarter points for the Texans, including a pick six. And Hopkins took off in the second half and got hot. All that combined for the Jags lost 31-20.
Yeah, the pick six was bad. The 21 points sounds like, wow, the defense collapsed there in the fourth quarter. But the offense didn't help. You know, I know they accumulated some numbers, JP, but when you throw it 50-plus times, you should accumulate some numbers in the passing game. And they did that. Too many critical mistakes. The one just not getting a score at the end of the first half. You know, in a game where
– something out of it.
Something. You're right there. You're point blank. You got to feel like you at least have three on the board at that point in time. The only thing you can't do is turn it over. You love to score, and that's great. You're trying to be aggressive, but it was a bad throw on Blake Bortles' part that got picked off. He made some bad ones today. And, you know, look, as Fred Taylor said to start the post game, they're a bad football team right now. Yeah. You know, that's not taking a shot at anybody. That's the facts of life in the National Football League. When you're 1-5 and you've lost to the string of teams you've lost to and the way you've lost to them, the Colts with their backup quarterback, the Bucs who have been
they had their number one draft pick last year.
Right, exactly. So they were the worst team. They earned the top pick as the worst team in the league last year. Now you have a Houston team that switched quarterbacks multiple times already this year. Right, they're playing without Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, they got a defense that's not the defense of old.
It is not by far. And Watt wasn't even a major factor in this game today, and you just could not get things going. I look at and you say Buffalo has this, that, and the other, and that they don't have this, that, and the other. Right now, I don't see how you can go into any game expecting Jaguar team to win.
You can't go in.
Doesn't mean they can't win
right,
games.
But they haven't proven that they can go win a game.
There should be no expectation for anything. You should be pleasantly surprised at this point anytime they pull out a win. And it's unfortunate because this season, you know, you got the win early, which had eluded Gus Bradley in his first couple of years, but they haven't followed up with any of that four in a row. And so really where you sit now six games in is very similar to where you sat really for the last three seasons. And I know that predates – Gus Bradley's arrival here, but it doesn't make it any easier for Jaguar fans to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, that the last September win before this season was that year, 2012, right?
Yeah,
the Cecil Short touchdown in Indy.
Exactly.
So they got that off. They got that done this year with a September win, but yeah, that was the only win for a while that season, too, in 2012. So you're right. It's just carried over.
Once again, as we talked about last week, JP, the different areas are causing you problems week in, week out. We thought, oh, boy, the offense turned it around last week. But we talked about this in the pregame. It was just 2 weeks ago when they couldn't score in the second half, and they struggled. And the defense had played well in that game, and they're not putting nearly a complete game together in all phases. You missed an extra point today. I mean, special teams wasn't the killer today, but you can't have any of that. You can't miss gimmies or as close to gimmies as they come in the National Football League.
And then the offside and the onside kick that you recovered, too, that's a special teams blunder.
Without question.
No doubt. That's
a good point. That is a special teams blunder. You know, just kind of get forgotten in some of the other blunders that they made. I mean, you know, the interceptions were the crushers today. And they're always bad, as Fred said, anytime you throw a pick six. But at that point in time particularly, you're wondering, how did we get down by 10 that quickly? And we were just in the lead, as you pointed out, to start the fourth quarter. And
I mean, you're down by 10, you have the ball, hey, maybe you drive, get back, all of a sudden it's down 17, and the game's over.
Right.
And so that's the frustrating part of today.
All right, let's get a few in before our first break here. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 if you're outside the 904 area code. That's 1-800-355-NFL-1. And let's go to Drew on the north side, checking in first today on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Drew. How are you? Hello, Drew.
Just, again, frustration. Nothing but frustration. I tweeted about this last week. Shad Khan, I know they meet. He meets with the coach and general manager every week. He's got to demand some kind of change. I understand that getting rid of the coaching and all that is not the answer. It'll just make things worse. But something has got to change during games. Something has got to change, and somebody's got to demand it. Otherwise, things are just going to keep going like this the whole season.
Well, he does. Yeah, he's the one who can demand anything he wants. He owns the whole kit and caboodle. And I know you say that coaching change is not going to make anything better. Sometimes you end up, and I'm not saying they're there yet, this is a Shad Khan decision, but sometimes you end up changing a coaching staff because something has to be done. You can't find 53 new players, JP. You got to go out there and, you got to shake things up sometimes. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I got to believe Shad Khan is beside himself right now. I mean, any owner would be, right? I mean,
you would think. But here's the thing. That's the hard part of this. When do you shake it up?
I don't know.
And how far do you shake it up? You know, is it some of the staff? Is it player? I mean, where do you? That's the hard part here.
It is.
Is it the head coach? I mean, because once the head coach goes, are there other dominoes that go too? Do you affect the development of Bortles some way with that? That's a real question to think about.
There's no question about it. But
do you let it go? I mean, and just see if it builds.
Others have brought up to me, though, look. Ultimately, and we're playing a way ahead of ourselves hypothetical here, but when you talk about affecting the development of the quarterback, he didn't seem to be set back any this year by changing offenses, right? So ultimately, if you believe in your guy and he's adaptable and he's got the tools to work with, I don't think you let that – if it's not working, you don't keep something that's not working forever just for the sake of not having to change it. You know what I mean? So I don't have the answers. I'm not in Shad Khan's meetings. I don't know what he's feeling. Maybe he's got more patience. Maybe this has been laid out to him. I got to believe, as Gus Bradley started to show some frustration last week, that they're not meeting their own expectations at this point in time. I understand when you're not meeting fans' expectations, but they had to believe they'd be further along in the win-loss department.
I mean, why would they come out and say it's built? I mean, that's just at the start of the year. They were very confident in this team's ability to get some things done. If you incur emergency flood damage at your home or business, don't sit on the sideline. Call the team the Jags trust, Surf Pro of Arlington and Surf Pro of Jacksonville South at 721-2230. Like it never even happened. We'll come back with more of your calls. The Scoreboard Show. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, 3120. The final. Texans win it in Week 6. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. With tickets starting at just $7, visit jtafla.com for more information. Scoreboard Show continues. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, 31-20. The Texans over the Jaguars. Texans are 2-4. The Jags are now 1-5, headed to London next week to face the Buffalo Bills at Wembley Stadium. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
If we had 50 lines, they might all be lit up right now. I don't know. I guess that's better than complete apathy, right? A frustration is a better emotion and than the other alternative.
There's plenty of frustration.
There's plenty of that. 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Skinny on the south side. What's up, Skinny? How are you?
Mike, long time no talk.
You too.
This is an apathetic call, by the way. I couldn't care less about the Jaguars anymore, and I think today was only an exclamation point on that. Devon House, what is his guaranteed money?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
He needs to be cut today. I mean, he clowned it out there today. It was unbelievable, embarrassing. I don't know what else you can say.
He covered the guy in the first half.
Yeah.
And then that's a good football player on the other side, too, now. I mean, Hopkins is the
DeAndre Hopkins is, right now, because he's healthier than Julio Jones, may be playing the best of any wide receiver in the league.
Yeah.
Now, and he did – look, I'm not – be upset with Devon Howell, skinny, you know, call for his head. I'm not trying to stop you for your reaction. But he did – JP, at halftime, I thought he had played the best of any Jag for 30 minutes today.
Absolutely.
Clearly didn't do that in the second half.
The guy's walking around with a crutch after last week's game, too. Remember?
I mean, yeah, I mean, look, you know, I get the reaction, but you cut him and then what? Cut him and put in another guy that you've already watched through a series of practice and determined is not as good as Devon House? I mean, there's no easy answer. That's the issue. You know, if there was talent to replace these guys with, then you'd consider things like
that. He's one of your best guys. You put him on the field. That's the way it works.
It didn't work out.
Well, guess what? Sometimes some of your best guys get beat.
Believe me, I'm not trying to make the case that Devon House, when you give up 10 catches for a couple of touchdowns and 100 and whatever yards it was today, ultimately, you got beat. It doesn't matter how good the other guy is, you got beat.
Right.
And you played well for 30 minutes. You didn't play well for the other 30 minutes. So I'm not trying to build the case for Devon House. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Hunter in Fernandina Beach up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Hunter.
Hey, what's up?
You're skipping
Hunter,
out on
us. Your phone is cracking up on us, so we'll see if we can get you back. Let's go to D-Man on the west side. What's up, D-Man? Hello, D-Man.
All right, well.
I don't know what's going on.
0 for 2.
All right, let's try Saqib. He's always reliable on the south side. Hello, Saqib.
Hey, what's up, guys?
There he is.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Okay, listen, I'm going to go on a quick rant, okay? Gus Bradley on Thursday said that we're going to be better tackling. That did not happen today. Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell has promised us they're going to get better. That has not happened. The last 3 years, this is his third year, they have not gotten better. They have gotten worse. And I know you're going to kill me for saying that, but they have gotten worse. Tell me where they've gotten better. The defense is horrible. The offense is horrible. And I'm tired of it. This has got to stop, and it's got to stop right now because they're not going to get better, and we're going to lose again in London, and then we're going to come back and have an off week, and we're going to keep losing because we're a horrible team and we're a horrible franchise. Have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you, Saqib.
Saqib's had enough.
I get it. I'm not going to try to talk him into believing that they're better. I do think there are areas of the team that are better and than, you know, just personnel-wise, but the bottom line's the record.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm not trying to get the win in the end. Right,
right?
I'm just trying to be, you know, give my honest opinion on it. And clearly, you know, you've gone now under this regime. You started with 4 wins, right? Because they got that streak in the second half of the season. Then you went down to 3, and now you're sitting on 1-5 without, you know, you don't know when the next win is coming for this football team. So I'm not going to try to convince you of anything on that score.
We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jags fall, 31-20. The final, Houston, a winner. More of the Scoreboard Show in a moment on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Scoreboard Show continues. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, 31-20. Texans over the Jags. Jaguars are now 1-5. This injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A few guys nicked up today. Allen Robinson at the end of the game, a right leg contusion when he was kicked by a defensive back. The DB got the worst of that, though. It looked like he has a broken leg. He was carted off the field, in fact. Chris Clemens, lower back tightness during the game, but played. Corey Grant with a quad injury. And the receiver Washington was out of the game with a quad injury as well. Those were the most notable today for the Jaguars. So there's your injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. The Jaguars are heading to London next week to face the Buffalo Bills, who lost today. 3-3 record for the Bills. They lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, who are still perfect. A 34-21 final today in Buffalo. But everybody's going to be hot this week about this Jaguars team.
Hey.
And they should be.
Kind of understandable, right? I mean, you know, you come out and you get it in many different forms and fashions. The inability to get over the hump, this learning to finish, all these different things, JP. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is end result's been the same for the fans for too long. And you're seeing that frustration come out.
You can say it a lot of different ways, but Fred Taylor might have said it best. It's a bad football team.
Bad football,
and
right.
Playing bad ball.
Yep. Right now, that's where they're at. Let's go out to the lines once again, 355-NFL-1. Savannah Jag just left the stadium. What's up? Hello?
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 You're on.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes, we got you. What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay. Next.
We'll go on to the next one. Joel, next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Joel. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing real good. How are you doing?
All right. We can hear you, Joel.
What's
go
up,
ahead.
Man?
Yeah. Well, so I actually got invited and was on Mr. Khan's Kismet last night. He had a party for, I guess, a lot of the speed owners or patrons. I went as a guest. And it was, you know, we ran into him, you know, early on, and he was very gracious. But, you know, when I was leaving, I said, well, good luck tomorrow. I hope you guys win. And his comment to me was, if we don't, it's going to be addressed. And I don't know, it sort of left me with the feeling like, you know, he's at his wit's end as well with this team and the coaching. And, you know, I don't know. The selections that they've chosen over the years, this Dave Caldwell, some of the decisions they made with players, has been very frustrating for a fan. And I just thought I'd pass that along. I don't know what's going to happen,
sure.
but those were the words that he told me last night.
Oh, we appreciate it, Joel. Thank you for the feedback. And JP, it's not just one thing, right? I mean, there have been personnel misses. There have been some personnel successes as well. I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture of anybody's role in this, okay? But you know, there's some good and bad in everything, in every aspect of this. But ultimately, look, I don't care if I'm the owner and I bought in for a rebuild. I expect to see steady progress at some point, even if it's not huge leaps. You know, even if you're not going from 3 wins to 10 wins, you got to go from 3 wins to more than 3 wins, and they're not trending in that direction right now. And you know, I can't speak for Shad Khan. Obviously, Joel had a moment with him last night. And he's a very successful businessman. We've seen him with Fulham go through managers over there like they're running out of style, you know? So
yeah, different sport, though. I mean,
it
that's
is a
kind of the nature
sport,
of that
granted.
Business.
But I think, well, it's been even more so than I think typical in that business.
Yeah.
But I think he's shown remarkable support and restraint up till now. I don't think anybody could find fault with him being frustrated or upset or mad or however you want to characterize it with the performance of the team up until now. So, you know, thank you for the call, Joel. Appreciate that. Let's go to Stuart on the north side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Stuart.
Hey, fellas. How you feel?
All right. What's up?
Hey, so I've owned club seats now for a while, right? And I'm, you know, happy with the fact that I elected to go that route. But I'm not going to be, like, you know, ticked off about the coaches and all that. I think the players are fine. I truly think that it's a coaching thing. But I think it may be a culture issue. Because imagine if, like, you know, you've got movies making fun of the Jags. You've got TV shows saying, quote, oh, Jacksonville, that's where you go to have your career die or something to that effect on Ballers. And it's so being the constant punching bag. You think that's the reason why these folks are dropping balls and just living down or living up
No.
to the hype of being a sorry team?
No. You know why? Because I think it works the reverse way. I think it's all the poor play over the years that accumulates that's how you earn that reputation. The Jaguars.
Go
ahead.
Do you think that, yes, that poor play that's been tolerated and how we've still, you know, said, yay, Cyprian, and yay, David, and yay, all these mediocre players over time. I think now we truly do have a good batch of players, but there's a culture of losing here that we just cannot shake, and these new, you know, players, this new blood is kind of taking that whole thing on. You know, watching this, you know, second in the second half, the two minute offense, Blake is rushing and like one or two other players are rushing to kind of, you know, get these plays in, and the rest of the dudes just standing around there like, yo, we already down 14. You know, what are we rushing for? So I think it's the culture. I mean, I could
okay.
be wrong, but
I know you may look. You may be right. I may be wrong. I'm just giving you my opinion, and I appreciate
the
feedback.
Yeah, I'm lost because I'm like I've been giving y'all thousands of dollars. What else can we change?
Understand, Stuart. Thank you for the call. I do think it's more of JP earn a reputation over a series of years by ineffective play, right? The Jags, there are plenty of times when they didn't have this reputation, when they were winning football games. Now, I don't think a guy like Julius Thomas, who's been a winner, comes into this environment and says, all of a sudden now I'm on a different team. I'm going to get sucked down into a different level of play. You know what I mean? I mean, could it eventually have an accumulative effect on you? Perhaps. I don't know. Something needs to change. And I don't know if it's an attitude, a mindset. Fred Taylor says you got to look yourself in the mirror. You got to decide that I'm not going to make those mistakes. Is it that easy? Are they not doing that already? Wouldn't that have transpired already at
this
point?
Here's a question then. How do other organizations get out of it?
I don't know, because you know what? So look at the Detroit Lions, okay? Detroit Lions went for about 40 years where they won one playoff game. Sometimes you don't get out of it for a long, long time. Look at the Buffalo Bills in the 1970s. They were a decade. I'm not trying to put the Jags in that category, and I'm not trying to suggest it's acceptable either, but sometimes you don't get out of it, no matter how many times you try. The idea is the easiest way to get out of it is to find the right quarterback. And I still believe Blake Bortles can be that right quarterback. Is he making too many mistakes? He certainly did today. You know, you compare that to last week's performance. Much better last week. But even then, threw a critical interception in that game. So
a lot of great quarterbacks make mistakes sometimes, too. That's
absolutely. Peyton Manning
especially
had
when
two
young.
Or three picks today. Right, I mean, now he's got a lot to fall back on. It's a different story. I'm not trying to say
don't compare the two.
Yeah,
right,
apples to apples. But I don't know. Things need to change. Attitude, culture, sure, that may be a part of it. I'm not disputing it. I just think the overall premise of the point, I think that comes from the poor play. It doesn't cause the poor play, you know, the reputation of playing in Jacksonville.
We're back in a moment with more of your calls. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Reaction after the Jags fall in Week 6, 31-20 the final. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Jaguars fall to 1-5 with a 31-20 loss to the Houston Texans. Houston now 2-4. The Jaguars will head to Wembley Stadium this coming week to face the Buffalo Bills. Bills are 3-3. They lost today to the Cincinnati Bengals. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Scoreboard Show. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Hi.
Oi is right. That's a good way to do it. Oi. Scores right now. Game's in progress, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah.
It is the scoreboard.
It is. Let's get some scores.
Seattle up 17-7 on Carolina. That game is now 9 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Green Bay and San Diego just about at the half. It's 17-3. Packers with the Chargers knocking at the door. It's tough to tell. Time might have run out in the first half on the Chargers. But San Francisco leads Baltimore 16-6 as well.
Baltimore, what's up with Baltimore, man?
Hey, you lose Terrell Suggs. They've lost a couple of other guys. I forget who off the top of my head on defense this year. You know, you lose Haloti Ngata in the offseason. Steve Smith's missed some games. They've gotten old a little bit at the same time, I think.
The Jags get to go up there after the bye week, right? No, is it? Yeah, it's 2 weeks after the bye week. At Jets and then
circle
at Baltimore.
It. Circle it, JP. We're going to circle that
You're
one.
You're circling that one already, are you?
Sure.
You just circled it. I saw
did.
You.
I just drew a circle. Yeah, there's
job.
Nothing in it,
good
however.
Job.
Let's go to Joe on the south side next on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
A gloomy evening for us, but it's a nation. But I'm Bortles, everybody hot on Bortles. The only good games I have seen out of Bortles to me is in preseason. The preseason, he looked like he was panning the field and all that. And it seemed like since the season started, there's no looking around. It's like I already got my mind made up who I'm going to throw this ball to, and I'm going to get rid of it. There's no scanning, and I have yet to see a catch where a receiver can catch it and make a play, a run. It's always they got to jump up and catch it, reach back and catch it. And then maybe I don't want to be a gloomy fan, but I'm thinking, being that I've never seen somebody groom a rookie quarterback to being a successful quarterback, maybe I don't have the patience. But right now, I'm not seeing it.
All right, thank you, Joe. I would disagree that the only good football he's played is in the preseason. But you know, coming out, it's pretty tough to make a great case for Blake today, just based on. You know, the crippling interceptions.
There are some some plays that he left out there. Remember Allen Hurns wide open deep down the right sideline. Throw the ball.
He missed
couldn't
a couple like
it.
That last week, JP.
There's
that he
a few
see.
Here there like that that are frustrating, and there are yards and big plays that are not being made sometimes. There are big plays and yards that are being made sometimes too. That's the positive part of this on Blake is that there's something there. There's a base. There's something going
there.
I believe so,
I believe there is. And that's fine. If you're a fan,
you may disagree,
think we're sunshine pumpers on that. I try to give you my honest opinion, good or bad, every time we're on the air, and I think you do as well. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we're going to see things differently. I think Blake could play better. I don't think he is a piece that you're looking to replace. When you look at what is good on this roster, he's far from a piece that you're looking to get rid of.
Yes.
I mean, that's as conservatively as I can say that. Let's just say.
I agree.
Joe, thank you for the call. Let's go to Troy next up on the South Side on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Troy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, man? You tell us.
Man, I just wanted to talk about Caldwell. I think that in the past, you know, we were able to always get some pretty decent talent here. Even when we went out and got free agents, you know, even the older free agents like a Carnell Lake or guys like that back in the days, you know, they were always able to gel with the younger guys. You know, we drafted well, too, you know, the Marcus Strouds and the Hendersons. And remember when we got Kevin Hardy, we drafted him. And then you had a veteran like Hardy Nickerson to go in the middle with him. You know, things like that. I think that we're not able to draft or scout good talent. I see a lot of kids, a lot of guys coming through Jacksonville. It's unfortunate what happened to Fowler. I think he would have really been good. But, I mean, really, man, it's the scouting, man. I think we need to get better players in Jacksonville. And look at all the money that we have under the cap. We're not even getting good guys, veteran guys, to come in and contribute. Nobody wants to come to Jacksonville. They say it's a career killer, but I don't think so. I think Jacksonville has a lot to offer. It's just that when you gel the veterans with this young talent, I think it would mesh pretty well. I like Gus. I think Gus doing a good job, but what he's working with, I mean, hey, if you need nails, but they're only giving you screws, you know, it's not going to work. So,
all right,
I like Gus.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, man. We appreciate the feedback.
I think you can only do some. I mean, Randall Cobb off season, right? They offered him a lot of money to try to come here, more than the Packers offered him. Look at Randall Cobb. Do you take the money and go risk going down there and playing, or do you take less money to stay with your quarterback and you know you're going to be in the hunt for the playoffs immediately right there?
The
right
two
then.
Primary guys.
Do you
are
blame
Cobb.
Him for going there?
No, not at all. How could you?
Exactly.
He'd almost be crazy to leave. You're almost like, really? He'd really do that? I mean, for a little extra money? What is he thinking? Right? I mean, if you were talking about Cleveland, right, instead of Jacksonville, you're saying Randall Cobb's considering leaving for the Browns? They haven't had a quarterback that's been stable in years. Right. You that's how you'd feel as a Jag fan from the outside looking in. So, yeah, be objective, Randall Cobb had no business coming here under those circumstances. Now, if they had gone and signed in Kansas City, you'd say, wait a minute, maybe there's something to that. Devin McCourty.
On the other side, absolutely.
Stayed with the Super Bowl champs, you know, and said at the time that he was so impressed by the pitch the Jags made that it was a tough decision to stay there. Now, Julius Thomas didn't have any problem coming in and taking that money. Jared Odrick didn't have any problem. Devon House. Now, I'm not saying they're on the same level. Julius Thomas, I think, is. But these other – I mean, there are only so many of that level free agents you're going to have anyway. And when a couple of them decide to stay with perennially contending teams, it's tough to say they didn't come here because it was Jacksonville, you know, in my opinion. Now, as far as leaving a lot of money out there, I know Dave Caldwell's philosophy is I'm not going to pay a guy more than I think he's worth. Well, quite frankly, maybe it's time to start paying guys more than they're worth rather than leave the money sit out there, right? And structure deals so it doesn't kill you down the line. I know what they're trying to do, JP. They're trying to build a nucleus, and then as these young guys all come into their third, fourth, and fifth years together, they're going to be up for new contracts, and you're trying to
pay them then,
allocate
right,
money.
If they're worth it, right?
Almost every team in the league uses more of their cap space than the Jags do, and somehow they find a way to manage it year after year. You got to make some tough decisions sometimes. You get up against it, but I think that's one thing that Jag fans are going to look very closely at next year, how much money this team is leaving on the table that maybe, all right, maybe you can't have, you know, Luke Kuechly because he's not available, but maybe you could have a better thing than what you have right now, even if you have to pay a little bit more. I understand what that can do to your locker room as well. When you see guys that get seemingly overpaid and you got better players maybe at other positions that aren't getting paid as much. So it's a delicate balance, but every other team seems to be able to manage that balance around the National Football League. So I think it's a fair observation.
Yeah. Let's get another one before
we
go to break.
Let's do it. Let's go to Steve in Arlington. Next in on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey. I'm doing good. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Okay.
I'm kind of old school. I think you got to bring them back to Caldwell and Bradley. They're running this team, and all we can have is positive. You can't hurt these players' egos. I guess tonight, instead of getting prime rib and lobster, they had to settle for sirloin steak. And to me, I'm fed up with it. The players aren't playing football, and all the coach is doing is making excuses and saying, well, we can't talk about the bad, we're going to talk about the positive. It just goes through me. That's all I have.
All right, thank you, Steve, appreciate it.
I don't know what to tell you on that one.
No, I mean, that's Gus's philosophy, right? Yeah. At least publicly. And I've heard Jeff Logman say many times that don't assume it's like that necessarily.
I'm sure behind closed doors it's a little more in your face than that.
In fact, from what we had gathered, that was that way in the postgame locker room last week, that they felt like they had handed that game away. I don't know. I mean, after a certain point, JP, any coach, when you're not having success, message, whether it's a hard ass or a player-friendly guy, is going to fall on deaf ears eventually. I'm not saying they're there at that point, but if you don't have success, it doesn't really matter what way you go, whether you're the best friend or you're the taskmaster. Tom Coughlin was the taskmaster. When the Jags stopped winning, the tune-out factor kicked in. And so it can go both ways, personality-wise.
We'll take our final timeout. More of your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The reaction after the Jags fall in Week 6. 31-20, the final, the Texans over the Jags. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final few moments of the Scoreboard Show. If you don't get in, fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up next. 641-1010 is the number there. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here at Everbank Field as the Jags fall today 31-20. You know what? Nobody even got free subs out of it today. This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, no field goals over 40 yards today. No field goals for the Jags at all today, in fact. And there you go. Just pouring salt in the wound.
2 out of 3 on the extra points, at least.
I'll tell you what. That's... It's a rough one today.
It was
all around.
Rough all around. That's a good way to put it. All right, let's get a couple more in before we get out of here, starting with Jonathan on the north side. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, what's going on? I just wanted to, you know, kind of take the heat off the players and the organization right now, man. I'm a first-time caller also. But, man, you know, the organization, ever since it came, it's been great. And the fans right now, are pissed poor, man. We can't support our team for nothing. I believe that when we start winning, everybody's going to be on the bandwagon. Know the Jaguars are winning. But what about when these guys are losing? Man, Jacksonville, the city of Jacksonville, and the fans of the Jacksonville Jaguars need to come together and help our guys, man. What do you think when those guys look up in the fan, they see everybody, you know, leaving early because they missed a pass or the game may be out of reach? Man, we have no faith and no belief. And that's what those guys preach. That's what Gus Bradley preaches, you know, faith. And those guys keep getting after it day in and day out, you know, every Sunday and every day that they go in and practice. But we, as Jacksonville Jaguars, so-called fans, we need to stick together. Don't you think those guys hear this show and hear any other show? Yeah, they say we're the punching bag, but you know what? We go in day in and day out, and we work. But as fans, we need to focus more on Jacksonville's fans. We need to stick together and be more positive towards our team. Because, man, that may hurt them more than them missing the pass because
right.
They hear the fans.
Jonathan, let us jump in. You're sort of repeating yourself at this point, all right?
I like the positivity, though. I mean, he's going the other way with it.
That's fine. I think he's barking up the wrong tree by a mile. They're turning out in tens of thousands, year after year after year, game after game after game. This ain't the fans. This is, none of this is on the fans. None of it, zero of it is on the fans. Guess what? They're leaving because they do reach a point where they say, man, we're out here once again. We're losing week after week to these garbage teams by NFL standards. And now you throw a pick six and we're down three scores in the fourth quarter. Yeah, we're going to head to the exits. You're damn right we're going to head to the exits. And it's the most understandable thing in the world. You are crazily barking up the wrong tree, in my opinion, on that one. You're at the right to your opinion. I'm glad you're a supporter of the team through thick and thin. I think those people that show up every day are showing up through thick and thin, but they reach a point where, okay, 2.5 hours into this one, here we go again. We're getting the same result over and over and over again. The season tickets, ticket sales have been great. This team has been supported tremendously over the years.
Yeah.
Based on the money you're spending for the amount of wins you're getting back for it. So I, you know, couldn't disagree with you more, Jonathan, but I appreciate the fact that you support the team through thick and thin. I'm sure the organization does as well. So, you know.
Let's get a couple more in
here. All right, let's do it. Let's go to Savannah Jag. I think he's back with us. Hello, Savannah Jag.
Hello.
Hello.
I'd like to talk about the there's so many things you like. Ace Ventura, you take a deep breath and just let it all out. But one thing is Luke Joko. I really like the guy. And but I think it's Sam Young is the better man, and I feel like he'll do a better job in protecting Blake Bortles. As far as Blake Bortles, he's I like him too. Sometimes he just has to read the field better, because a lot of people be going down the off seams to the middle. I see a lot of guys going down, usually a tight end like Julius Thomas or something like that. They're free and they're going straight down. It could be a touchdown. The next thing is I feel like the guys really is trying to play pretty good, but attitude reflects leadership. And I feel like they're teaching them, they're playing great, they're playing good ball, football, but they're not playing great. And when you think about great, you think about a defense that, like, the Saints had turned up a notch, and you see them punching balls out. And I posted myself last week, I said, well, Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't know how to take it and get a pick six, you know, when someone is back up to their end zone. But everybody knows how to do it on us. And time again, they're always doing it on Blake Bortles. So that's telling me that the people, the other teams are looking at them, and they know that this is the problem. And so I feel like we have an overall team, but the coaches, they're not taking them to the next level. They're not teaching them how to be instinctive. And when they learn how to be more instinctive and how to jump balls and how to take away balls, they'll be a better team.
All right, hey, listen, we got to jump in because we're almost out of time. Yeah. I agreed with the first couple of points. The last one lost me a little bit. I don't know if you can teach instinct. Instinct by its definition is not something
teachable.
You teach.
Right.
It's something you have or you don't have.
That's right.
But you could probably develop better instinct. So I'm not trying to pick on him here. You know, let's move on. I mean, let him say his piece. And
yeah.
I agreed with the first couple of points. I think they're fair. Maybe Sam Young at this point would be a better option.
We'll
I don't know.
See. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if he would be or not. I don't think it's unreasonable, though. I mean, Luke Joko had another rough day. Whitney Mercilus had, you know, all it takes is a few big plays for a left tackle to have a
correct,
bad day.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure we'll hear what Tony Boselli has to think about that tomorrow night on Jaguars Monday.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ken on the south side. Thank you for the call, Savannah Jag. Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
You know, I'm recently transplanted here. I've been here a little over a year. I moved from North Carolina, so, you know, I came from Panther country. And the one thing those guys did, I think the Jaguars need to do, is when they had George Seifert there, you know, George Seifert demanded more out of his players as part of his pedigree and this and that. I think that you've got a grade-A owner that wants the Jacksonville Jaguars to be very good. You've got what could be and will be a grade-A quarterback to lead the team. You know, it's his first full season starting, but I think he's on the path to being a franchise quarterback. The problem is you don't have a grade-A head coach. And if you have that one missing link right there, the entire team's going to suffer. If one of those three things aren't there together, if they're not all working together, there's going to be exactly what you're having: continued failure, huge expectation, and they're going to keep coming up short. That's my opinion. I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Yeah, look, I'm not saying your opinion is wrong. I do, If you listen to as many calls as we do, JP, we do a lot of shows, not just this one, obviously.
You do, yeah, for sure.
And you do as well. Though you're doing all kinds of stuff on the web. You hear from fans. You know, you have one caller say, hey, look, I think Gus Bradley's doing a good job. He's not being given the ingredients. You have a next guy says, the talent's there, but the coaching is not bringing it out of him. And that's the problem, right? When everyone's unsure and they're like, and everyone might be partly right in all of these things.
That's true.
When you're 1-5 and you've won 7 games in the 2 previous years, nothing what you're doing is all that correct, right? I mean, because the results are just not coming. So, thank you for the call. We'll close with Charlie in Arlington.
Yeah,
let's get him in. Hi, Charlie. You're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Great show, Mike. Let's move on to the next game. You got Buffalo in London. And then you get a bye, and then you go to Jets and Baltimore. It's not a coaching problem. It's a player's problem. And what's your take in the next 3 games and how we're going to do? And I'll take it off the air because they played great today, but there seems to be some bumps in the road, not doing this, not doing that. But I'll take it off the air and let you decipher it.
All right.
Have a good night. Appreciate
it, Charlie.
That goes back to your point. Matt, it's now, a different view.
Now I question when he said great show, right? What kind of a backhanded compliment was that? What do you mean by that? Yeah. They didn't play great today.
No.
Okay, they didn't. There were aspects, there were times, there were moments, there were plays that
were
great.
They were fine through, they had the lead through 3 quarters.
Yeah, they did
that's
some
fine,
good things, I'm not trying to say that should be satisfactory to anybody.
That goes back to your point, though. I mean, he's saying it's the players' problem.
Right.
We're just
players,
talking about the coach.
Last one was
the
players, the GM, the attitude, the...
That's what happens when you're 1-5. Nobody has a direct answer.
And I'm not saying I know. If anyone could just clearly define the answer, they'd be working on fixing it already. And, what are my expectations? How can you expect the Jags to go to London right now and beat anybody? I just don't see it. And then you got the Jets, who are playing like one of the best teams in the league right now, coming out of your bye. Baltimore's struggling, but JP, so is Tampa, so is Houston.
That's right.
There are plenty of struggling teams, and the Jags aren't beating any of them right now. So my expectation is they're going to continue to struggle. I hope they prove me wrong.
The Jaguars face the Buffalo Bills Sunday at Wembley Stadium in London. The Bills are 3-3. They lost today, but they do have some parts in that football team that are very good. Rex Ryan, the new head coach, of course. A storyline this week, Doug Marrone facing his former team, the Jaguars offensive line coach.
Good
That'll
point.
Be a storyline this week, too. So, strap in and hang on. It's going to be one of those weeks.
It is definitely going to be one of those weeks. I get it from the fan base perspective. What can you say? We all want it to be better. Everyone, from broadcasters like us to the fans who pay the hard-earned money, and they're at the top of the list, and don't think the players don't want it, the coaches don't want it, the administration. Everyone wants it. It's got to happen.
They want it. They just don't have it right now.
Not yet.
And Jags are 1-5. Well done, Mike. We'll talk to you this week.
Thank you, babe. I called you babe.
What'd you call me?
I called you babe, I think. I didn't think I just called you babe.
You did.
Pretty sure I just called you babe.
Thank
you, babe.
A little awkward. It's okay.
I think I was going to say buddy, and then I was going to say JP, and it just came out babe.
I've been called worse, I guess.
Great show, babe.
Linda Fortunato taking the calls. Tony Smith for Mike Dempsey. This is the babe, JP Shadrick, saying goodnight. Fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hackers coming up next. This has been the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.